Amongst the Kaw First Nation on whose traditional territory this meeting takes place. The first order of business is the adoption of the minutes. The motion before the board is that the board approve the May 19th, 2026 regular open session minutes as circulated.
I make the motion.
Thank you. Could I have it seconded? Thank you, Craig. Can I open it up for discussion? Seeing no hands for discussion, I'll call for the question. All those in favor of adopting the May 19th, 2026 regular open session minutes as circulated, please indicate by raising your hands. Carried and so ordered unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item C, items coming out of closed session. I see we have four items here. I'll turn it over to.
No, closed is, yes, the late items is D.
Sorry, late.
We're on C.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, pardon me. Items coming out of closed session. Was there anything?
None.
Nothing coming out. Thank you very much. So we'll move forward to the introduction of late items, and I'll turn it over to John to explain what we have and what's come in, and we'll discuss and vote on how we do it.
There's four letter or four pieces of correspondence that are on late items that I'm requesting that the board allow for an introduction for this meeting. One is a letter from Don Coghill that was received this morning. It relates to some of the business items that are on the agenda. We could, in theory, wait a meeting, put that on there, but I'd rather just deal with it now because it's current, and then that just drags it out. We need one more meeting when we're talking about it tonight. So that's why I've asked that be on there. And I talked to Don this morning, and I explained to him this morning that I would be asking the board that. GW Solutions, it's something that we received back in April, and Crystal will speak to that later. He was waiting for clarification on a few items related to that, and he asked last Wednesday that I put it on the agenda. I had missed that, so that's why it's on the late item request. So I apologize to the board. In theory, I could have had that on the agenda, but I missed it last Wednesday. The third item, I was speaking with Adam today, and I believe Adam is with us, and by Zoom, and Adam asked that I put the White Pacific item on the agenda, and he's ready to deal with that, and we'll talk about it when he gets on there. And also there's an email from Core Water that Adam wrote regarding a request for a water sample port replacement at the reservoir site, and again Adam will speak to that later. So with the board's approval, we could address those items tonight. But if you wanted to leave one item or any of them and go and beat the meeting, that is your prerogative. Thank you.
Thank you, John. How does the board feel about, we'll go through my number. Item number one, the letter from Mr. Coghill dated June 12th that came in today. Shall we accept it as late item? And frankly, we'll probably just accept it as correspondence in. I can't see there being too much discussion. And if and when we are going to discuss this, as I'm on the subject, I do not take this lightly, and I don't want this to be going any further without him showing up and discussing what he's writing to us. I have no interest in talking. He has said, I would not be interested in answering questions from the DBID board because while I have a good knowledgeable of the DBID water system, I was not the contractor. Well, he was working for the contractor, for the DBID, and any questions that may arise by the board should be addressed by the contractor. I don't buy that. If he's going to be writing all these and making these accusations and telling us we're doing this, that, and that other thing, then I would suggest that the board vote and demand that he shows up in person to have a discussion, whether it's just him and the board. But I do not want to keep dealing with him as an absentee ratepayer. Thank you. Any other discussion? Thank you, Diane, please.
Sorry, showing up here and having 5 minutes to read a four-page letter that I just scanned through. The things that I did scan border on HR issues, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not prepared to accept Mr. Coghill's item as a late item. I think it needs more review.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Please, anyone else? Like people to comment. I appreciate how Diane's put that, because it is true. I just read it too, and it's a lot of information again. So please comment if you like. Otherwise, we're going to call for the question. So then, seeing no hands, we will call. Those in favor of allowing the letter to be as the late item, please raise your hands. Thank you. It looks like no one. Against, please raise your hands. Thank you. Carried and so ordered. So we will not allow that one, as you have suggested. It will likely be put on the agenda for next month.
Well, I think we need to look at it in light of the comment on HR.
Yes.
I certainly was rushed today, and perhaps I've didn't look at certain aspects of it close enough. So we'll look at it through that lens and make a decision accordingly.
Good. Thank you, Diane, for bringing that human resources piece into it. Number two, GW Solutions Water System Regulatory Requirements, dated June 26. I would assume we would all be in favor of allowing that to be discussed. Any discussion?
Are we going to discuss it now?
No, you're going to walk us through this later.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. just that we put it on and we discuss it later.
Okay, yep.
Okay.
All those in favor, please raise your hands. That's carried.
So before we go to the next item, whereabouts would you like this placed on the agenda? We want it under new business?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's okay. New business.
Okay, number three on new business then? There's two items there right now. So the third item will be GW Solutions.
Okay.
Thank you. Number three, the White Pacific replacement two failing SCADA packs at well 4 and well 8, dated March 27th, 2026. I would think that we would allow that to be discussed tonight. Anybody against that idea? So I'll call for the question. Just quickly raise your hands if you're in favor of allowing that late item. Thank you all. And where do you want to put that, John?
I think new business again.
I have number four. No, yeah.
Okay.
Oops, sit there.
Don't die on you now.
And number four, the email from Core Water Management for water sample port replacement at the reservoir site dated June 16th. I think that's important. I would open it up for discussion, and if we see no hands, we'll just call for the question. I know that Adam had talked about that sampling port being replaced and that it may be a reason for some of the potential tests that are coming back a little bit skewed. Is there any further discussion or any discussion on that item? That call for the question, all those in favor of allowing it as a late item? Carrie, thank you. All.
And that'll be item number five.
Five under business. Okay.
Does anybody have an extra pen?
Yes, I do.
Mine just died. Thanks, Paul.
Another one, if that one didn't work.
Yep, sure. I think sure. I have some up in my car, but thank you.
Is Adam going to talk about this?
Yes.
I'm just wondering, do we put it with this report so he doesn't have to wait until new business?
Well said.
Yes, yeah, I'm absolutely right. I'd like to move him in up real quick. Okay, so late items we have done. Petitions and delegations.
So, Chair, John, if I could, I hadn't thought of that. So we have it under new business.
Oh, I see.
Item number three and five. Three was, number four was White Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And number five was sample ports. So that four and five, should we move those to underneath the water operator's report? Under H1 A and B?
Yeah, I got you. So he can talk about that. Yes.
Okay, yes.
Petitions and delegations are the next item, and he says we have none. So moving on to the business arising from the minutes and unfinished business. Item number one, Crystal Coons, response to concerns raised by Martin Martins on May the 14th, 2026. The recommendation is that the June 10th, 2026 letter from Crystal Coons responding to concerns raised by Martin Martins on May 14th, 2026 be received as correspondence in. Could I have someone make that motion?
I will.
Diane, thank you. But I have a seconder. Craig? And I'll open it for discussion. Seeing no hands, Craig, please.
Very detailed.
So I'm just checking on that. The letter was May 14th, but our meeting wasn't May 19th. So wasn't the discussion of his letter something that was said at that meeting?
Oh, I think it's something he handed in after the meeting. Right?
I thought they had reviewed the meeting minutes, the audio minutes from May 19th. Well,
it does say that in his letter, it says that he had reviewed the audio. So there is a comment in his letter related to what he heard in the audio.
But the meeting with May 19th.
Was May 19th.
The letter was 5 days early.
Oh, I believe I can. Does anyone have the agenda from last meeting? I thought Martin Martin's correspondence was on the agenda packages correspondence from the last meeting.
Meeting in total.
So he's commenting about what's on the agenda.
Oh, shoot. I didn't want the audio. Who's want the agenda?
People don't have it. I have it in my
bag. Yeah, right here. May 14th email from Martin Martins.
Yeah, so what happened is he wrote it on, well, the date of it was May 14th. We received it. We put it on the agenda.
Right.
So we're referring to something that he wrote on the 14th. You know, in theory, we could have said that the email that was received by the board on May 19th, but they're one and the same. So I don't think there's a problem with that. He wrote it on the 14th. Then.
Okay.
Okay.
So the discussion or the motion before us is that we receive it as correspondence in. Could I have someone move that motion?
I already did.
Diane did in a seconder. Great. Great, seconded already. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion that the June 10th, 2026 letter from Crystal Coons responding to concerns raised by Martin Martins on May 14, 2006, be received as correspondence in. Please raise your hands. Thank you. Carried and so ordered. Two, Crystal Coon, response to concerns raised by Mr. Coghill on May 27, 2026. Recommendation before us says the June 10th, 2026 letter from Crystal Coon responding to concerns raised by Don Coghill on May 27th, 2026, be received as correspondence. Could I have someone move that motion? Craig, thank you, and a seconder. Alyssa, thank you. On the subject of that, did Lisa call and say she was not available, John?
Yes, she did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lisa advised last week or even the week before that she'd be unable for the end of the
session. Thanks. So we haven't moved in second. We have any discussion on that item? Two. Seeing no hands, the motion before us is that the June 10th letter from Crystal Coon responding to concerns. No, right, number two, am I not? The letter from Crystal Coon responding to concerns raised by Mr. Coghill on May 27th be received as correspondence. All those in favor, please indicate by raising your hands. Thank you, carried, and so ordered. Moving on to correspondence in. Regional District of Nanaimo, the invitation to participate in the Rural Housing Strategy Open House. The recommendation, the Regional District of Nanaimo invitation to participate in the Rural Housing Strategy Open House be received as correspondence in. Someone move that as a motion, please. Diane, thank you. Seconded. Christo, thank you. This is the one that's happening on Thursday?
Yes.
Would you like to speak on it, Diane?
It just says to attend, please confirm participation by email to planning@rdn.bc.ca. Did the DBID actually respond?
No,
said that we
no,
would
we
be
did.
There?
No.
No? Okay.
Were we?
I don't know. That's what it says. It says, please.
Yeah,
I don't know, but my question is, is there someone from DDLV that is going
to attend that meeting? Diane was going to go.
I'm going to be there, but I'm representing a different organization.
Right.
So I will be there, but...
I thought that I might attend and see what they're on about as well.
I don't... But from my standpoint, that's not within our area that we cover as a board. We have a water and fire department. What happened is Diane forwarded that message to me, maybe some members of the board, to spread the word that there's this meeting, because it does impact the whole area.
Well, yeah.
And that's why we put it on the agenda, is more for like awareness. But if the board wanted to take action and be part of that, we could, but it's not really within what we do as an organization. I look at it as more as informational.
And I don't really think that they're going to turn you away at the door because you didn't send an email.
No, I'm just asking if we...
Yeah, I get it. And I was... If I do go, I want to go just to hear and listen to what they are talking about with respect to development.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that would affect us is servicing, because if they change, well, they already have changed the way they allow specific housing in our area.
Yeah,
the
zoning is
and
already
we
changed.
Provide water services and fire services. So if all of a sudden our community doubles in properties, then that does affect us.
Yes. Agreed.
So... So anyway, that was my only question.
So any more discussion on that item? As Diane said to me, and it came out, if anyone would like to attend, I'm going to attend just to see. Diane says she has another organization. I'm going on behalf of just our district to see what the discussion is with respect to development. As Diane said, they just rezoned down in Bowser where they're putting 8 houses up Gainsburg, where we walk, and it was a half acre forever. Now it's going to be 8 houses going one block. It's going to be 8. That's just ridiculous. And then 19 behind. So they're moving in on us. I think it's time we pay a little attention. Not that we're going to be able to change. The only way I suggest we ever change anything is you get signatures from everyone in the district. They might have a chance. That's how I beat up on them. Remember they were going to run the line into the ocean? We beat that. And I knocked on doors and we had over 300 signatures, but just food for thought. So recommendation as a motion is that the regional district invitation to participate open house be received as correspondence in. That's been moved as a motion. Crystal, thank you. Seconded by Diane. Just made that up. All those in favor?
Keep going. Keep moving.
Yeah, we'll allow that. The developers.
Colin?
Yes.
Is that something that perhaps I should be attending as far as you?
Gee whiz, I think if you're interested, darn right, I would. If you have the time, and if not, if there's anything applicable and that there's any notes given out, I would certainly advise you. But yes, Chief, if you have the inclination, yes, I would suggest.
Thank you.
Item number 2, Regional District of Nanaimo Water Restrictions, June the 2nd, 2026, email in the framework. Recommendation is that the Regional District of Nanaimo Water Restrictions email and water framework chart be received as correspondence in, and that staff be authorized to change water conservation stages when necessary. Did I have someone move that as a motion?
Right.
Alyssa, thank you, and a seconder? Crystal and John, I'd like if you'd like to speak on that.
Yes, thank you. What the concern was, if something happens mid-month or between meetings, we need to change the level. Staff have just gone and done it in the past, but why not put it in a resolution that shows our flexibility on that, that we're authorized to do that? We'd probably still touch base with the board informally on that, but this gives us the authority to be able to technically do that. Nonetheless, in terms of the immediate, the RDM has now gone to stage three. So
they have gone to stage three.
Yeah, they have now.
Okay. Like at first, wasn't it just two
that's ago? Right. Like Bowser went on June 1st, but that wasn't an RDM water area. That's they're like us. But now the RDM water areas are on stage three.
Stage three.
So the plan would be that we would change tomorrow.
Yes.
On to stage three.
I still have this beef about Bowser. They go to stage three. This is using our observation well at this end of the aquifer. They have not a clue what is going on down there. Anyway, we've almost got those four level loggers in the wells. Just trying to get them up to speed, and then we'll have some data. But they have no... We put one in one of their wells, luckily.
Okay.
So we have some idea of the water flow, but it takes, a year to figure that out. But I'm just saying.
So the people...
That we can have to get up to speed with, and anyway.
No, that's pertinent.
Well, Critical's asking for data and facts.
Exactly.
And we have the ability to produce that here with the work you've done, but Bowser doesn't. Is that what you're saying? Bowser is just kind of flying by the seat of their pants?
Yeah, they use our observation work, and it's at this end of the aquifer flows in that direction.
Gotcha.
They do not have a clue. Because they have lots of water, they just merely use the water. Now, I don't know how they control what they're using.
Okay.
They're on stage three, though, I believe.
Pardon?
Bowser's on stage three.
No, I know, but I'm just bringing up the point that
I thought it was falling big.
No, I saw something posted online, Bowser as well.
Because I saw the signs on the highway south of Nile Creek.
They don't have signs, as far as I know, for Bowser, but I did see it posted on one of the local Facebook pages that they were changing.
But
to Crystal's point, they don't have the ability to really accurately determine what water they have in their district, correct?
Yeah, I talked to Dick at some point and said, you guys have to get together with us and we need to pay someone. And that's where I was going with the other thing, to jointly, because it's the same aquifer, not right. You're independent and we're independent. Anyway, he goes, oh, no, not interested at that point, but that's not good enough.
Anyway. No, it's not.
Well, in theory, there's good logic in being on the same stages for conservation as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So probably, I think staff should probably make a phone call to maybe start at a staff level of getting more involved. I'm not saying that will solve what you're talking about, but I certainly haven't made an effort at the staff level to be more communicative with them. It's not that I won't take their call or anything, but I just mean a little bit more proactive. So I'll take that as a kind suggestion on direction to see if I can start a little more communication between the two water districts.
Okay, well, I'll talk to that later when we get around to the TWS thing.
All right. So the recommendation, did we move that as a motion yet? That the regional district of Nile water restrictions email they received his correspondence in?
Yes.
Did I have that moved in second?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him, Crystal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any further discussion?
Is the second part of that and that staff?
And that staff, be authorized to change water conservation stages when necessary. No further? Yeah, please.
More to three tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll change the sign.
Thank you. We'll get the numbers out at the end of the meeting, assuming we remember.
Okay, I'll take them with me. Driving by tomorrow.
Excellent. Great. So seeing no further discussion, I'll call for the question. All those in favor of the motion with respect to water restrictions? Hearing so ordered, thank you. Item number three, Mr. Caldwell, May 17th email and May 27th letter. Recommendation that the Coghill, Mr. Coghill's letter from the 17th of May and the 27th of May 2026 letter be received as correspondence in. Could I have someone make that motion? Craig, thank you. And a seconder? Diane, thank you. Do we I will open it up for discussion.
If I could say something, yes. This morning, I met with Don Pogba at front counter for probably at least 20 minutes. You know, I had an excellent conversation with him. Don has done a lot in this water district. We all know that. And he's done an amazing job at the fire department as well, and I acknowledge that to him. I did express concerns again about him writing letters. I want to be careful with what I said here, because I told him that as far as I was concerned, I was hoping that we could just start receiving this correspondence as correspondent end and not getting into just detailed discussion on it, because we're getting into he says, she says, well, it's he and he, but it's not serving a productive. There's nothing productive about it anymore. And I do have some concerns with him writing those kinds of letters, but I really don't want to say more on this, because I did make a commitment to him, not that it's a binding agreement or anything, that I was going to try and refrain from doing that and try and look ahead rather than look behind. And I'm hoping all of us, including Don Coghill, can start trying to look forward rather than look backwards, because all it is doing is, it, like I know myself, I'm what I consider wasting a lot of time on it, and it creates issues, stress for not just me, board members, for Dawn, for, you know, it's not good. So that's really all I wanted to just say on it.
Especially when the issue was 28 months ago.
Yes.
February 24 is when the reservoir was inspected. I can see why he's responding, because somebody's read the or listened to the audio and they're going after him, saying, well, it's a contradiction of what he told us. And it just gets a life of its own. And then they move him up as a stooge up front to take the heat.
Yeah, it's, as John says, it's wasting everybody's time. If Don, as I said earlier on, if Don would come and sit and talk to us, and everybody could air what's going on, and we can start working together. He has to realize and admit that the people that moved in, Cor and Adam, are way, way more proactive than he and Don Buckner were. There's just countless things I've got notes, and I made notes the other day of the things that were and were not done and looked at. For instance, not testing the reservoir for 3 years because they wanted to keep it off the radar of VHAL. Like, come on. But it's, as we said, it's in the past. Let's move forward. And I would like to move forward in a positive way with Mr. Coghill. So with respect to his correspondence and respect to what John has said, I had the conversation today. I hope Mr. Coghill was somewhat receptive. And hopefully we can move forward collectively trying to sort things out, not he said, he said, and then we fight, and then it.
Because the results speak for itself. That reservoir has been burned over for a whole year, and every test, every week is clean. So the way Cor is running it, it's working.
It's working.
The results speak for themselves.
It is working. And in the history in the past and of tests, there was coliform tests in 2019. There's been tests throughout. So for it to be painted like all of a sudden the reservoir is not very good is just wrong, and it's been delivered to the community as an inaccurate accusation. And it's hurting all of us. The reservoir is in pretty good shape. And further to the pristine, that was, I do remember them telling us, because we all said, boy, oh boy, back in the time, and can't remember, Crystal, if it was when and how or who I really heard it from, but the term was that it was very clean inside the reservoir to the tone of the word pristine. And now that's been denied. This has been denied. Diane, please.
Could we just call for a question, please?
Yes, we can. We'll call for a question. All those in favor of accepting the May 17, 2026 email and May 27, 2026 letter from Mr. Coghill, be received as correspondence in, please indicate by raising your hands. Karen's order. Thank you. Thank you, Diane. Moving on to reports. Adam, are you with us? You've been waiting patiently.
I got to turn this on.
Don't talk yet.
Are you there, Adam?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you, Adam.
Hi, guys.
You have the floor, sir.
Okay, well, I'll start with my report, and then there's obviously a couple other items that we will discuss. The report for this last month, you'll notice some different looking results as far as flow meter readings are concerned from the wells. There was a change in how the wells were operating while we were doing this flushing program that consumed the majority of May. So you'll see that there was much more bearing on well 8 over the other 3 wells. That was intentional, so that's not of concern. We do see that there was, a big increase in water usage this month over last month. That's obviously expected from the flushing program, but also expected looking historically at water consumption between the months of April and May. Last year, there was a big jump up last year as well. So we're pretty much in line with what the water consumption habits were and what we would expect from the flushing program. We see in the notes there, it was a pretty eventful month between doing the flushing program. There was a couple of leaks that needed to be addressed, just one was addressed in the month of May. The other one was just in the beginning of June there. But the repair that we had to make on Gainsburg, it was good for us to have to kind of face that. We were concerned about how the archaeological requirements were going to be affecting us as we try to do an emergency dig. The Sea Beneath crew, Kim and Rob, were awesome. They were really on top of everything, and helped us to get an emergency allowance to have that repair made pretty promptly within a couple of days. And so that all went pretty well. I was happy with that, and now it seems like they're making efforts to try to include some of the other known issues to be under that same permit so that we can hopefully address those soon as well. I know there was some questions from the community of why are we repairing that one so quickly when this one, the standpipe down on Burn Road or on Chrome Point Road has not been repaired yet. It's a totally valid question. It just came down to urgency of the situation, and as a result, hopefully it means that we will still be able to include that Burn Road leak within the same permit, but we haven't heard confirmation on that. That's been what we've been told so far.
Can I just add something quickly?
You bet.
So I was down there with two archaeologists, and Mike Rotelma was there, Chief Rotelma, and ground was, it was leaking out of the ground, and I said to him, hey, you guys, this pervious stuff is great, but this is it, because I looked to see if there was a water service nearby. They bought across the road somewhere. Turns out it was a water service. But anyway, I said, it looks like the main is leaking. If this thing goes, we can't shut down the community. We cannot be waiting for permits. So just so you guys know, we're standing here looking at it. This needs to be addressed. Whatever you have to do. I said, then if it leaks, the three of you could come and stand here while we dig. Oh, no, I have to have a permit. I go, well, just telling you, to be quite honest, Rob got on the phone right away and called the guys, and they got the permit the next day. So,
yeah.
But it wasn't the main. But anyway, it just shows something can be done if absolutely necessary.
Yeah, there was definitely a gap in what we were seeing on our engineered maps and then what was the reality when we dug it up, which it ended up being the best case scenario. But we had to assume that it was on the water main, given its location. It was 20 some odd feet on either side away from a service that we could see. We just didn't know that the service deviated around the PRV and went to the downstream side of it rather than right in line from where it should have been. So it ended up being, like you said, it was on a service, but it had to be assumed at the time when we were assessing it, we had to assume that it was on the water main to apply the most amount of urgency to it to protect the community that way. So I'm happy that we did because it pushed through a it, you know, it pushed us through a process that we had not encountered yet, and we were able to do it without actually having to deal with a very large emergency, which would have been, you know, a water main actually breaking, a 6-inch water main breaking on that main road. So I think it turned out to sort of be the best case scenario as far as what we were dealing with.
Question for you, Adam. It's great.
Sure.
Did see beneath at that job say where the line is so that we know for future reference?
Yeah, I can speak to that because while I was there, a neighbor came over and he said, "Oh, I've got a map that the archaeologist sent me, not these guys, but previous." And he showed me. I took a picture of it, made a copy of it. It showed a line there. I so good point. When they were there, I go, "You guys, look at this picture. It looks like it may be within an inch or 2 inches of your red line. Oh no, there's a buffer zone, 30 feet, because we don't know where things are." Anyway, I'm just saying, there's always an out.
Yeah,
That'd be crazy.
when we had Rob come and GPS locate that specific leak, he was pretty clear that it was close, but it was inside the lines of not
Yeah,
just in
fine.
the buffer zone. If it's just in, he was also it elaborated to me. I think I put it in my notes there that the I don't know if
I'll just
maybe
add to that, hey.
it might have been at the beginning of June. That I had another meeting with Rob, and he was able to explain a little bit in more detail what those requirements are when it's inside or when it's in that buffer zone. There's no requirement for a permit if it's in the buffer zone, but there is a requirement that if anything is encountered, that everything stops immediately. So there's a certain amount of care and attention that needs to be applied when you're working inside the buffer zone. But when you're inside the archaeological zone, there's no questions. It needs to be observed by archaeologists, observed by the First Nations, and excavated in a very specific way. So,
I'll just add to that quickly because I called them out
sure.
before when we got issued down on shoreline there about looking at the plans and how vague they were. They have a thing they can put on and they get a GPS exactly to the millimeter. So they can locate it exactly. And that one was maybe an inch within their line. Anyway, so they can be very accurate. This is wrong.
I mean, this is a $10,000 question.
What?
Well, then the archaeology fee was like $10,000.
$10,000. Okay.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have told me that.
Well,
That's why I'm asking, where's this hard line?
No, if we could, I believe the archaeologist fee was about 3,600, I believe. And then there was another couple of thousand that related to First Nations viewing, them being observers down there. So it wasn't all to the
No, no.
archaeologists.
But the cost of having to do that versus 2 inches this way or whatever.
Right, fair enough. I just want to be clear on what that is. But there is a further bill coming. They have to do an assessment. It's part of the permitting process after the fact. So even the number I was questioning on you, maybe it'll come back to be accurate, but we don't know that yet. That all being said, please be aware this is provincially regulated and they're following the provincial law. And if we don't like something, for example, it's more on how the rules work. The archaeologists have to follow those rules and are following it. So it's on the BC government this time.
I understand. Just I was wondering for their fee, did they say exactly where the
Oh,
line was?
yeah, on
Like on the other side of the PRB box? Then we don't need to call them.
Well, just another thing here, another big issue was a lack of a good map.
Now.
And that's been a hold up for us. And we improved the map. And we've been advised by Rob and Kim that the map, what McElhaney did, which cost us $9,700, suffices for what their needs are. It was probably, I'm just guessing here a bit, maybe a couple thousand related to the archaeologist component. Most of that mapping we had already given McElhaney
the go-ahead to do that we wanted it from a water improvement standpoint. So we do have a better map now. To get a detailed map to the level that Christo was talking about, we got a proposal from McElhaney last week, and I believe it was $76,000, and that's an aerial flying over, and then you have to do some ground truthing. And I asked Chris Pogson about it late last week, and is there any merit in us doing that? If there was, then I got to do my investigation, write a report for the board. And he said, no, the archaeologists are happy with what they have. That's good, and we don't need the next level. The only additional items that we need on that mapping is today Christo and I were chatting about it. There were a couple of items that you thought we should add to the map. And why don't you explain? Because you're the one.
Well, I'm meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock at the reservoir. The guys are going to do some work there. And he and I are going to drive around the neighborhood. I've gone through the map carefully, and because I know the area well, and marked certain things. And I'll drive around with Adam to make some things clear and ask him what's going on. So we'll have a detail of the whole area for him and us. Like, we need to have on the map marked where the shutoffs are. So if he's not available, one of us has access to the key and go to the thing and turn the valve off if it's kind of one area. Can't just let it leak away until 5 hours later somebody shows up. So an emergency thing, all those things should be on this map. So anybody can have a look. Okay, the leak's over there, there's the valve, shut it off. Anyway, those are things I'll discuss with Adam tomorrow. But I just wanted a question about the archaeologists. So this map that Hodgson have done for us, the archaeologists, can we can give them the map. They can put on whatever they want. We're not paying for that. That has nothing to do with us, right?
I'm not sure what level. I'm not sure what level you're talking about on the map.
Well, the archaeologists. We're doing the water thing. We're laying out the water lines. We can give them the map. Then it is up to them to transpose whatever they have onto this map.
That's what's occurred.
Yes, but that's not a cost for us.
Well, there was a component for us, but there was a component that wasn't for us. The component for us is we asked them to do that, or I asked them, because we needed to know if we were doing work, whether it was in the zone or not. But most of that information, detailed information, came from the province. So okay, you don't get much mapping done for... It might have been an extra couple of thousand. I was just winging that number. It could be even less. We did not pay a large portion towards that.
Okay, just wanted to be clear that you're not.
Well, that's part of why we're not going to do the aerial. Why would we do the aerial to improve that? Okay. That would just be crazy.
Yeah, no, it's nuts.
Yeah.
The map we've got is just great.
Except for a couple items that you asked about, shutting it off. Well, and you also asked me about putting all the lot numbers in the community on there.
There are quite a few things, and where some of the water lines they don't show, which I know are there. So I don't know why they missed those things, but anyway, they have. So anyway, we'll tidy it up tomorrow. Right, Adam?
Thanks, Adam. Yeah. Go ahead. Thanks, Adam.
Sorry, you didn't mean to interrupt.
The worries. Long water operators report today.
yeah, buckle up. We've got some more here, you guys. So that's the end of the regular monthly report, but we've got an elaboration on how the flushing program went. So this time I have itemized all of the gaskets that needed all the nozzle gases that needed to be replaced, and that's all been done and taken care of, with the exception of one. I put on there that it was done and replaced because it was supposed to have been done by the time that the report was even submitted, but the part got delayed. So I'm still waiting on a new 4-inch O-ring for one of the hydrants down at the end of Maple Guard Drive. But with that exception, all of those are finished. Now, there was a number of hydrants that were placed on a medium priority as far as small repairs needing to be made, like just sort of general stiffness in operation, still in, very, very well within the realm of normal operations, but just noted that, that there's some stiffness there. So perhaps the next time the next time we go around, if I clock that it's gotten a little worse, then it might be worth going around and doing a tear down on a few of them. However, there was a couple that were noticed. There's a standpipe up at the top of Sabina. Well, it's yeah, sort of the corner of Sabina, the end of Maple, sorry, of Mountain View, where there's a standpipe that the operation valve for it, or it's only an isolation valve that you use to operate it. That's failed closed, so that standpipe is not operational. Once again, my understanding from the fire chief is that we do not use standpipes for any fire suppression purposes. They're just for end of line flushing. So that standpipe was not able to be used for flushing. However, it's not very far from the nearest hydrant. So it should be dug up and replaced. So that's on the list of something to get done. I did have to confirm with the archaeologist, because I mentioned that one to them, and they said, well, I know that there was a small area on the fire department property where there was some archaeological deposits or something that was buried there from a previous dig or something. But anyways, it was confirmed that it is outside that zone, so there's no issues there. Another one that would be on high priority is down at the corner of Gainsburg and Hembro, right where the mailboxes are there. I opened up the cap for the isolation valve, tried to put my key on it, and I couldn't. So I vacuumed out the dirt that was in the bottom of there and found that there was no operating nut on the top of it whatsoever. It appears that at some point it was sheared off, probably, from somebody operating it, and it shears off. That happens. You have a failed valve. But it means that it can't be, that hydrant cannot be isolated. And so that hydrant wasn't flushed, but it was serviced and to ensure its operation, which it was operating fine. So, but I didn't, and under a non-emergency situation, I didn't want to open that hydrant wide with the risk that if it didn't close, I had no way of isolating it so that I could pull it apart and find out why it didn't close. So that one will have to be addressed. We're going to have to shut down a portion of that of the water main leading up to it, and we're going to have to excavate and replace that isolation valve in front of that hydrant. And it is with it's inside the archaeological zone. So that was one of the items that we got Rob to GPS locate and put on there for including into the emergency permit. Now, moving down through those, people can read the details of that report. I did have some notes here about standpipes that were not flushed, and they were all not flushed for a specific purpose. One, most of them are down in the on the spit, that there's for whatever reason, they alternate. They go a hydrant, then a standpipe, then a hydrant, then a standpipe, all along a straight stretch of water main. So there's one aspect where I go, well, I don't there's no cause for flushing it, because I can flush the hydrants and get the scour of that section of pipe, and so it's not useful for my flushing purposes. It's also, as I noted before, it's not part of the fire suppression program, according to the fire chief. And three, they're all within that archaeological zone, so I run the risk of opening it up and not being able to close it, and having my hands tied and not being able to do anything about it. So for the time being, those standpipes are just being left closed. Obviously, without operating a valve for a certain period of time, they will seize and be not usable at all. But in the meantime, until we have a proper permit in place to do any kind of excavations or to make a plan about them, they're being left. So I just wanted that to be clear as to, what is and isn't being done, and why, if it's not being done, why it's not being done. So that's that. The other sort of major item that I found from this fleshing program was up at the top of, well, it's on the one single address in the district that's on Island Highway. It's on the opposite side of the highway from the rest of the community, near Well 2. Now, during flushing, they have a standpipe right at their service connection. And so during flushing that, I found a lot of sand and grit coming through there. And as I continued on with my flushing, stirring up that area, then I got a phone call from the resident there saying, yeah, there's a lot of sand coming up through my service and we've got very fluctuated pressure. And so I've done some investigating as to why that is and exactly what we're up against there. Mm-hmm. Now, their service is up at the top end, and it goes from the bottom. Let's start from the base. So the water has to travel down Gainsburg, and then it comes up Hembro, all in 6-inch water main, and then that 6-inch water main continues at the end of Hembro straight through that one resident's property all the way to Well 2, where it then turns and would have previously been fed by Well 2. And there's a service line, a 3/4-inch regular municipal service line that leaves from that well and goes all the way across the highway, under the highway, into their home. So when I'm flushing that standpipe at their house, all I'm doing is opening up a 3/4-inch water line, which does not give a proper scour, obviously, of that 6-inch water main. So the issue is that since Well 2 has not been operational, there hasn't been any kind of velocity going through that water main, that whole section that goes from the well all the way down to the end of Hembro. And so there's obviously what we're seeing is a significant amount of buildup in that section of pipe. And without any way of increasing the velocity, because there's no flush out that's tapped directly to the water main. So the only solution that I can see in front of us to address that would be to dig up a section of that main and install, you know, a 2 or 2.5-inch standpipe flush out that we could open wide during a flushing program and scour that long section of pipe. And then once that's completed, then we can open up the standpipe across the road and flush the remainder through their service out, flush it out before it goes to their home. You know, that's the solution that I see in front of us. As far as the mechanics of putting that all together and quoting out what that would be, that hasn't been done yet. All I wanted to do was to report on what I found and open it up for discussion. Because I know it's you know, as you can imagine, digging anything up is expensive, and we're talking about one singular connection that's affected by this sort of physics issue.
Quick so, question, Adam, if you had to sure. dig it up, is it in the right of way there?
Well, I'm not 100% clear on where our right of way is. I'm assuming it's inside that
around the well. Well, around the
yeah.
well, yes.
Yeah, that fencing that goes around the bunker well. Yeah, I imagine we would be able to dig there, inside the confines of our well site there, because the water main comes out of one end of that, and all we got to do is dig down right where it comes out basically, and okay. flush from there.
Okay, I can look at that with you tomorrow. Okay.
Craig.
Yeah.
Craig. Adam.
Is it possible with the valving at Well 2 that you could flush the main from the discharge of Well 2?
I did put some thought to that. The only flush out that we have there is on the other side of the check valve, though. So the water comes up and it can either go left out of a flush port, or it can go right out the main distribution and in order to flush water backwards, we would have to either remove the check valve, which isn't the right thing to do, because then you have nothing protecting the well. The function for that flush out is so that you can flush water out of the well and out onto the ground, and bypass the distribution system, but there's no way of valving it so that you can flush the water main backwards through that through what's already existing in there.
Okay. And then it would be a compliant space entry too.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Adam,
yeah.
Adam, in the area that you're discussing right now, how many properties are affected?
One.
One service? Is this residential?
That's the one across the highway. That's
the great big one?
Yeah. There's two or three homes or whatever on that
it's
property, but it's one service connection though, 1 meter.
Okay, thank you.
That's all I have for my report. If there's any questions on any of that, I'm happy to answer them from the board. And then obviously we had a couple other items that were late items that I think have been included into this section. We can talk about those afterwards if anybody has any other questions.
Question on the PRV. I see there was some correspondence from Ridgeline. They were have received all the parts to rebuild those PRVs.
Yeah.
The day they wanted to come do it this week wasn't going to work because you got to shut the line down. So I just was wondering if you had an update on a when.
Now let me look at the date on that. I wrote it into my personal calendar here. It's next week, Monday of next week. So yeah, they wanted to last week. They contacted me on I think Monday, asking if we could do it on that Wednesday, and I said no. We need more notice than that, because I was under the impression that they were going to have to be pulling apart the multiple isolation valves and then installing new isolation valves before they could actually replace the PRV, that specifically the 1.5-inch PRV. I spoke to one of them at Ridgeline. They clarified that the main line is only going to have to be closed down for, they said, 15 to 20 minutes. I wouldn't say that. I would say, to warn people that it certainly could be longer than that. But they seem pretty confident that it's just a matter of closing down, shutting down the water main, just upstream from there, and removing the isolation valve, spinning on a new isolation valve, opening the water main back up, and then they can do all their work with the rest of it being live. So that is on the books for next Monday, the 22nd. Okay. So at that point, I'd have to just look at my notes to confirm, but from memory, they're going to do the repair kit on the large, the 6-inch PRV. They're going to replace the smallest PRV and the middle sized 3-inch PRV. I'd have to look at my notes again. That's all in previous meeting minutes. But that's all going to take place on Monday.
Adam, John, yep. Here. Adam, could you give me a short speaker notes on this particular issue, and I'll use those notes to put on our website and also send an email out to residents. It'd be good if we could get something out to the public tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get that to you. I'll get that to you in the morning.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Any more questions, Adam? Are you done? Pretty thorough, my friend. Pretty thorough.
Yeah, so that's the end of my report anyways of
so maybe we could receive this report and then go to the two items that we added as late items.
Yeah, that he can speak on.
Yes.
So stand by, Adam. We're just going to receive your report. The recommendation is that the May 26, 2026 water operating report and fire hydrant and standpipe report be received for information. Can I have someone move that motion? Crystal and Craig and Crystal seconded. I don't think there's any further discussion. Call for the question. All those in favor? Carried. So ordered. Thank you. John, you will introduce what Adam's going to speak on next.
Okay, so the first item, I don't have much to say. I was going to turn it over to Adam. It's the White Pacific on the two failing SCADA packs. Adam, if you could take over.
Sure. Yeah, so the two the two wells, wells four and wells eight, it was noticed back in January that there wasn't actually a readout, a level readout. Whereas with the other wells, we can see live what's happening with the actual water level, whether the well is static or if it's in operation, and we can see what that drawdown is and what the recovery is after a pumping cycle. And then we can also observe what's happening in the aquifer at large based on that data. So each of our four operating wells do have a pressure transducer sensor at the bottom of the well that tells us exactly what that level is. The problem that we noticed was that we weren't getting a readout for well four and well eight. So we had White Pacific come out. They assessed whether the sensors were working or not. It was the first thing they tested, and they found that those sensors were actually working, but the signal wasn't being transmitted because the SCADA pack had failed. So the SCADA pack is what communicates that data, that information, to our SCADA system and logs the data points as they come in. So those components are what needs to be replaced. Now they've put forward a quote for us on what that would be with the parts, the programming, and the actual installation of these things. And the total comes to somewhere around $10,000. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody was clear as to what it is that they're going to be that needs to what it is that's failed, why it matters, and what they're going to have to do to rectify the issue. And then of course we would need the board's approval before approving them to go ahead with that repair. So I'm not sure, maybe just open it up for questions. I think that's about as much as I can sort of present on it. It's, these types of sensor things, it's certainly within my wheelhouse to know what they do for us, but not exactly how they operate or how they work, because they're electrical components that are beyond the purview of a water operator. That's why we have White Pacific involved with this automation type of components.
Craig has a question for you, Adam, or a
Sure.
comment.
So is this going to require a confined space entry for well four, or is that in the box on top of the bunker?
Good question. No, yeah, no, it's in the just in the electrical kiosk, the components inside that kiosk. So
Okay.
A quick question, Adam. So when I was there with you, we talked to the White Pacific guy, well, hey, I asked him about if it was possible for them to do an automatic hookup for the chlorine injection. Is that something you thought was worth pursuing or not? Just so you don't have to manually do it whenever, if you're going to be doing it twice a year now.
Yeah.
Is it worth getting them to do that at the same time or not, or what?
I mean, I don't know that it's something that needs to be tagged on at the same time. It's certainly something we can look at as an item to add to the our sort of like, yeah, our temporary chlorination. It would certainly make things a little bit easier to manage when it comes to flushing time. And I can pose that question to them and get them to at least quote it out while they're on site. It'll be probably something pretty easily that they could look and see, okay, what's here and what would be required in order to make that happen. It's certainly something I would support having that in place. And I guess maybe I can offer a little bit of an explanation just for if the other board members aren't clear on what that is. The way that the chlorination pump is operating right now, is that we've done a calculation of what the average daily pumping out of all the wells, really, but what the average daily demand is basically of the system, and then we're dosing chlorine based on that average. Based on that daily average. What it means functionally is that the chlorine dosing pump is dosing consistently through day and night at a certain rate that averages out whether the well is pumping water or not, and it's averaging out over a 24-hour period to dose the right amount of chlorine for the water that's going through. Whereas normal chlorination would normal chlorination operations would have a some kind of a, there's a number of different ways you can do it, but have the dosing pump only come on and dose at a certain rate when the well is pumping. So there's some and then as soon as the well stops pumping, then it stops dosing chlorine, and it's then it becomes a much easier to fine-tune exactly what the chlorine residual is throughout the system. So that would be what that is that Christo's asking about. And yeah, I would certainly support that. It makes you know, we did receive some comments and complaints about chlorine residuals through this last flushing cycle. And yeah, there were certainly some times where chlorine was high in some parts of the system and low in other parts of the system, and that's just due to that sort of inconsistency on an hour-to-hour basis, but general consistency over a 24-hour basis. And that's that th those inconsistencies are what would be fixed by having the electronic control of the dosing pump, having it coming on and going off, you know, at the right times when the well is actually running.
What is the approximate cost for that, Adam?
I don't know. That's what we would have
Like,
to.
are we talking 5 grand, 10 grand, 20 grand?
No.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's
No,
that
it's
much,
just a
but I can.
120-volt pump. It's just a 120-volt pump. So all it is just going to be a relay signal. It's yeah, probably when the well starts, it'll just take a signal and it'll turn the power on to that plug.
Anyway,
Yeah.
maybe just when they're there, Adam, ask them to do a quote for us.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's a great idea given some of the
Yeah.
feedback that we've had from subject just
Yeah.
residents. Like, we're not flooded with people, but my understanding, even on the, not that I see it on the social media line, they talk a lot about this as well. Nonetheless, if it's relative, if it's not super cost prohibitive, it just makes sense because we're talking about improving the water for consumption purposes.
Yeah.
Long term, I'd be concerned about corrosion because all those wells stop at 96% in the reservoir and they don't come back on until it's 76%. That's many hours. And that pump is pumping, 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 pumping. And that line is now becoming all chlorine. Chlorine is nasty on steel
That's
pipe.
that is part of the reason why
Yeah.
back to the first thing that I noted in my water report this month was noting that well 8 ran way more frequently and more run hours than the other wells. It's because we're only actually dosing chlorine at well 8, and that's the one that like Craig is saying is taking it has that dose of chlorine through day and night. And so I wanted to limit the amount of time that well was down. I wanted it to be running more frequently, and so that's how I had it set up, was that it would always come on its own, and then if it was unable to keep up, then a second well would come on and a third well would come on. So that explains why that is, why I operated the wells that way, and it's directly related to our chlorine dosing.
Diane has a question, Adam.
Sure.
Hi, Adam. When is
Hi.
our next scheduled flushing supposed to happen?
Yeah, that'll be in the late fall again. I think it was probably a little later than it should have been this last year in December. So I think we would put it in November, but it's going to depend on what kind of precipitation we get through this year or what the drought conditions are. It'll kind of dictate that. It's something that we certainly want to do, but not at the detriment of of drought conditions. So if we can push it a little bit later, then that's good. But that's sort of why we tried to schedule it on the shoulder season, just kind of before we get into it here in May, and then hopefully after we started to see a bit of a rebounding in that late fall season.
Okay, I was hoping you were going to say into the new year so then we could just put it in the budget instead of doing
Oh.
an emergency. But I think that we should probably get the quote for it and so we know what we're dealing with so we can
Yeah.
go ahead and have that done.
Like I said, it's something that would make the whole operation go a lot better. And it would it but it's not something that we need to that we need to jump at and go, oh, this needs to be handled right away. There's certainly other issues that are more important. So
it's just simply an electrical issue, and Lake Pacific charges on the high end that I can see for this dosing pump to just on and off based on the well pump. I would think our Tony McCormick electrician could look after that for us.
Yeah.
It's just a simple electrical, just a signal. The pump's running, start the chlorine pump.
Yeah.
But you have a concern, it's on, you know, piping. You have a concern that it's
well, you get concentrated slug, you get a concentrated slug of chlorine when the well isn't running.
That just lays just, in the pipe?
Yeah.
It waits until the pump kicks in.
Yeah.
And that's corrosive.
Otherwise, you'd have to keep running over there and unplugging it. And then when you think the well's going to start, you'd have to go back over there and plug it back in. That's
just not needs to be automated.
Yeah.
To be automated.
And it sends a burst of chlorine at that point, at that down to the resident. So if you're getting a super high reading, it's probably
going well, a lot of it at 76%, it'll be going up to the reservoir, but then it's going to come back down in the system. And yeah, that's where you get the highs and lows in the system. So this would make Adam's job a lot simpler, and there'd be fewer complaints because the pump only runs when the well pump is running.
So I thought you were saying there's an issue with this new type of system, but you're talking about the way the system is now is where it sits into the pipe. I'm sorry. Yeah. So this is a good idea. Automated.
It is.
Right. Okay. Then let's.
Yeah.
We're suggesting giving, please, a listener's going to speak, Adam.
Yep.
I just was wondering if you think the quote will be any higher because this was done back in March. Will it actually be more expensive, or you think that's the total will stay the same?
Oh, I imagine it'll go up a little bit, but I'll get a if everyone's in agreement that we should be moving forward with these repairs, as far as that you're talking about the SCADA pack PLC repairs. So I'll get an updated quote and make sure that gets sent out to everybody. I guess maybe that can be the next step, is that I'll make sure we get an updated quote, and I'll push it to John, and then you can vote amongst yourselves to say or I'll wait for your approval before anything goes ahead.
And I'll get a hold of Tony and ask him if he's up for doing this.
Cool. I knew that's the question you're going to ask.
Okay, so do I gather then that means we're just deferring this to the next meeting then? We're not making a decision and we're waiting for this?
The SCADA pack, no, we should vote on it.
So the idea is to vote on this, knowing that there could be a slight variation in price. Just before we get to that, Adam, your recommendation is to proceed as soon as possible. Is that what your recommendation is?
Yes.
So I'll make a motion that we proceed with this unless the quote is an additional $5,000 more.
I wouldn't ask them.
I'm just putting a number out there.
I wouldn't ask them. Sorry, I wouldn't ask them for a new quote. I would want them to say, "We're accepting your quote. Please go ahead." Don't mention a new quote.
Yeah.
Well,
we prefer them to keep this one.
Yeah,
that's
they
already say
okay, we're accepting your quote. Yeah, I don't want that.
That's a good point. We'll start with that. No, I hear the 5,000, but if it's materially different than the 10, I prefer that not even be in the resolution or in the motion. We'll just come back to board. I'm hearing what you're saying.
So. Yeah. Okay.
You hear that, Adam?
Yeah. Understood.
A little bit
understood.
Of flexibility, but not much.
Yeah. I'll just tell them, hey, we got the approval. Let's go ahead, and I'll leave it in their court if they decide they want to up it or not. But yeah, well, I won't give them the opportunity.
Yeah, there you go. You're on it. Good man.
So the motion is to accept as long as there's no material difference. Right. And then who's the second?
Alyssa's got a question.
This won't disrupt water flow or anything, right? It's just skate on.
Let me see Tony. These guys are pricey.
Yeah.
This stuff is not rocket science.
No, I agree. Good.
And so yes. I don't see why Tony couldn't do this.
Even this boat that we're talking about here?
Yeah. But I don't know who
the
else. The SCADA packs? Yeah. And it's a lot of money. But they've charged a lot for our upgrade to our SCADA system a few years ago.
Yeah, they do more.
They're expensive.
Yeah.
Right, but there's their programming as well. Does Tony program SCADA?
No.
Okay, well then we're kind of stuck.
No, but this chlorine pump is on off.
Oh, the chlorine pump—that's separate from that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that chlorine issue can be kept completely separate. We can we can deal with White Pacific specifically on the SCADA pack so that we can have access to our well levels again. And then we can keep the improvements to our chlorination program. We can keep that completely separate. And
So, you had a motion, started the motion. So
Diane's motion.
Yes, motion. Can we read the motion back, please?
But basically proceed unless the quote was materially different than the existing.
$10,040 increase that quote. And we did not have a secondary, is my understanding.
Thank you.
But, Alyssa, we'll take for a second. Thank you, Alyssa. So, please, if you will, read the motion out. This is on the White Pacific item number 3 in late items. Could you read the motion out one more time?
Basically, just proceed with this unless the quote is material different than the 10,040 from March 27th.
March 27th.
Got you, Brad. Okay, yep. Everyone is understood, I believe, and that's not any further discussion, I don't think. Let's call for the question. All those in favor of the motion as presented? Carried and so ordered. Thank you. Thank you, Adam.
Okay.
You're still there. Now, where are we, Adam?
Yeah, one last item there, the sample ports.
Go ahead, Adam.
Okay. So the sample ports that we have in place currently, at all of our sampling locations, with the exception of the fire hall, because that one is taken directly from an outside hose bib. All the other locations are there's basically a receiver, a quick connect receiver in a meter box that there's a valve key that I have that I can insert into that receiver, and then I'm able to flush water out pretty much directly from the main. It does come through the service line from the water main to that home's service connection, but it comes out before their meter. So it's a direct representation of the water that's in the main. But it's a tap-in system that I think the design purpose of them are more for irrigation purposes or for having access to water in areas where there's, you know, there is no hose bibs around, which I think for the most part they come from an irrigation brand anyways. The brand Rainbird is an irrigation product brand. I think it's something that I'm not sure when, you know, how long these have been in place as the sample ports. But the issues that arise with them is that there's, you basically got this fixture that's down in the ground, with, you know, dirt all around it, bugs all around it. You know, there's very little control over its environment, which opens it up for contamination when it comes to actually collecting the water sample. And I did send through an email to John, and I just wanted to be clear that they don't put the distribution system, the water that's in within the water mains, they don't put anything of that nature at risk of contamination. But the issue that we see is that it can contaminate just our water sample. And that's where that's the most likely scenarios for why we see is, you know, one total coliform count or a two total coliform count that we see throughout the system at different times. That's sort of the issue that we're up against. And then, so if we were to take that and go, okay, well, what would be industry standard? Industry standard is a different style of sample port, which is it's similar in that it's a direct tap off of the water main. You don't have to rely on it going through anybody's personal plumbing before you can take that collect that sample. but it's different in how it's protected. The environment of it is protected, and you know, there's an ability to evacuate the water out of it, so we're not worried about freezing in the winter time. One of the suggestions that was made, because I've spoken to a number of trustees about these sample ports in the past, you know, one of the suggestions was, well, what if we install a yard hydrant in replacement? That way it's up out of the ground, and you know, we're not dealing with something that's down in the ground, you know, potentially being affected by bugs and dirt and all that stuff, things falling into them. There would be a number of sort of security issues with that, having a direct access to the water main in that sort of way. That would open up us up to, you know, potentially water theft, for lack of a better term, and just general security of the of that kind of a that kind of an access. The big issue with that, just because I wanted to address that, I know it was something that we talked about, was, why don't we do this? It would be pretty cost effective, and it would take the samples up out of the ground. The biggest issue with that is how those yard hydrants are drained. There's a drain hole at the base of it underground, that when you close the yard hydrant, the water from the barrel of it, basically where it comes up from the ground and up to the faucet, that section of pipe, the water drains out of it down into the ground, which means that it's exposed to the ground atmosphere within that water pipe, which would make it, you know, it would provide basically a possibility for contamination in that way, a really likely possibility. So I don't think that's the solution that we're going to be able to go with, even though it would be certainly much more cost effective than what I'm proposing here with the industry standard sample port. So,
Adam, can I just add something?
sure.
So over the years, I've put in a lot of yard hydrants. Those things do not last. Had a lot of
Okay.
problems with them. They just
Yeah.
don't last. So it's really a non-issue.
Okay.
Just
Yeah.
cancel that idea totally.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Adam, if I could add as well, John Marsh here, on the drinking water inspection report, and our health officer, Amanda Ding, right in her report, she stated, and this was when we walked around and did the inspection of our water system. And this is a quote, and it's on the agenda on page 49. And we'll talk about this later when we get to the inspection reports. But as it relates to what Adam is talking about now, I'll read the one paragraph. A sample port at the reservoir was shown during the inspection by the operator. It was noted that the type of sampling port may create false positives in bacteriological sampling. Upgrades to the sampling port to improve efficiency and eliminate false positives were discussed. These upgrades do not require permit waivers or applications. Please send a picture once completed. After the install is complete, take a routine sample after ample flushing. So Adam has already discussed this and got the blessing of Island Health to proceed if we get board approval.
Right.
Yeah.
So, question, Adam. I've seen the sample port on the one at 4529 Thompson Clark when you were there months ago. This new unit for $4,500 a piece, where is it? What does it look like?
What it would look like from, you know, from somebody walking by, they would just see a rectangular, I think they're all like green, a green outside casing, and it would be sticking up maybe 18 inches or 24 inches up out of the ground, and there would just be a casing with a lock on the outside of it, and so that's what you would physically see. What it would look like inside is that you would open it, you'd undo the lock and open up the door, and there's a control valve for it and two spouts that come out that both come from the base of the connection. And yeah, one of them would be used for actually collecting your sample, and then the other one is used for evacuating the water out of it. So you would have to apply a like a suction pump, some kind of a vacuum pump, to put onto the spout of the other line, and you would suck the water out of the barrel through that way, after collecting your sample. So it's something that like I said, it does not have a drain down in the bottom, so it doesn't open you up to that kind of contamination from the bottom. It's completely closed all the way up until it gets to those two spouts, one for sampling and one for evacuating the water afterwards.
So the service connection has upstream of the current sample point in the meter box has to be dug up to get at the
Yeah, you would
water
have
pressure.
to. Yeah, we might be able to just feed off of what's already existing, but that's going to be up to. There'll be some figuring to do on that is exactly how it would be installed. The one at up at the reservoir, which we're proposing to start with, it would be the most simple because there isn't actually a meter there. It's just a service box with an isolation valve. The sample port and the backflow valve. So I haven't dug down to see what's on the other side of that backflow valve. I'm assuming it's just a capped off or a plugged fitting that we would just have to unplug, run a small section of line, and then have our sample port come up just downstream from that.
So my question then is the one at 5532 Deep Bay Drive in the archaeology zone going to require a permit.
We're not changing that one.
So I just wondered when you were at the dig there, the repair on Gainsburg, if there was any conversation with you and C beneath as to what the rules are of how far down you can dig to install this new sample port versus when you trigger this archaeology thing.
Nothing.
You can't dig at all.
No, you
Can't even
can't
scrape the
hardly kick
sod
it. You
off.
can't hardly kick it off with your foot. Yeah, there's it's
Intervention burrows. Raised gardens. All right. Yeah. Thanks, John.
Can't do it
Yeah,
right
so
in
so
the
I guess
Adam, sorry, Adam, you said you had some information about that valve to bring it with you tomorrow so I can have a look, please.
Sorry, say that again, Krista.
You said you had a spec sheet with the model.
Yeah, I can email it to you.
There's my dog.
Okay,
Email it to
sure.
you.
Thanks. Where are we at?
Yeah. So I guess the proposal is basically to have one of those installed, start at the reservoir water main sample station. It's going to give us the idea that okay, yes, this plan will work. It's going to eliminate that possibility of contamination. It'll also allow us to fine-tune exactly what's involved with the installation of them, so that I can quote it, more accurately. At this point, all I can really offer is what the cost of the unit is, plus labor for installation. So once we have had one installed, then I'll have a better idea as to how to quote it out, and then they can be budgeted for it because they're not cheap. As Craig said, there it's about 40, it's going to be $4,500 plus the cost of installation, to have the first one done. That's per sample port. So
That's a
the expectation isn't okay, yeah, let's go ahead with all of these right away. There's certainly an acknowledgement that an improvement needs to be made of this nature, but it can certainly be in phases. And the proposal from myself and from our health officer was that we start with the one at the reservoir water main, and basically test it and make sure that that's going to be what's best for the rest of the sample locations, and then we can budget for that and roll it out at a later date.
One thing to bear in mind, since he's been talking about groundouts, maybe some sort of protection of it against the vehicle.
Yeah.
Where
Yeah.
I don't think somebody wants a Jersey barrier in their front yard, but it's certainly at the reservoir.
Yeah.
Just kind of when you were thinking about where it's going to be installed, Alyssa found something online. It kind of looks like what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, it's poking out of the ground a couple of feet.
Put some concrete rounds around it.
And
Yeah.
if I could, in fairness to Adam, Adam attached a spec sheet of the specs on these.
Yeah.
I've since forwarded that to you as you were speaking, but I'll send it to all the board. I was having some problems with my phone on that, but I didn't think that everyone would be interested in that level of detail. I personally wasn't, but I should know this group better and have sent it to everyone. So my apologies for that.
Okay. Yeah, what you found is it.
Yeah, they're pretty tall.
Yeah. Okay.
How does that go with vandalism?
It looks like it's a box that swings open on a half, so it can be locked. But of course,
I got bolt cutters.
I know.
it's a sample pour.
Realistically, like certainly what we have right now, it's nice that it's out of sight, out of mind, but it's well within anybody's capability to go and purchase the valve key that goes into it and go ahead and plug in and take whatever water they want, or they could open up the thing. I don't need to give anybody ideas, but certainly what we have right now is out of sight, out of mind, but just as easy to be vandalized as something like this. This is just a better solution to what we're actually trying to solve, which is not having false positive sample results.
Right.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Adam, to completely service the district, how many sample port units would we require?
Four. It was 18 grand plus install.
Okay.
So if we start with the reservoir and then have the other three in the budget for next year, then
Well, Scott goes.
We could decide not to.
Yeah.
I think the critical one, that's the one that seems to be getting a lot of attention from certain ratepayers lately up by the reservoir. So we'll at least have a better quality sample being taken up there.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your time there, Adam, for researching this.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam. Good report.
Should he come forward with a quote to do the reservoir one, then with like the installation and cost and everything, or?
Well, Adam, is your recommendation then to proceed with one right now? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
So if
is he going to issue, Adam, are you going to research the quote, get back to us with labor, or do you want us to, are we expected to take it from here?
Take it from here.
Take it from here.
Yeah. What I'm saying basically at this point is that the most accurate quote I can give on this is what the cost of the unit is, plus the cost of installation, which is a variable at this point. Once we've installed one, we'll know what's going to be required, and then we can properly quote out the other three, and then those can be budgeted for properly. That's why, I think that's just the best way to go about it, is in a phased approach. And like John says, dealing with the one that's under the most criticism first, so that we can make sure that we're addressing, addressing the most critical spot.
Are you installing them?
Yep. Yeah. I don't believe there would be a requirement of any outside, any outside contractor for this. I would just be installing it.
I'd be happy to give you a hand, Adam.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I'll have a look at it. I've seen in other applications where there's some concrete, around the base of it for security and for just rigidity to make sure it doesn't kind of lean either way. So I'll look into seeing if that's something that's recommended. That goes a little outside of what I would, what my expertise is. So certainly,
I can do the concrete, man.
Happy with that.
So he's got 50 years of concrete. He can handle the concrete if we need concrete.
Yeah, put a bag of quick mix together.
I just poured 30 bags 2 days ago.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Based on
anyway.
Okay, so let's move forward with a motion then.
Okay.
Right, and I would suggest I'll come up with it. If no, the motion would be
motion to go ahead and change some sample port up at the reservoir, for Adam to go ahead with that.
at an estimated cost of approximately 4,500 plus installation.
Yeah.
And that was moved by Crystal.
Seconded by Craig. Written by Janine.
The vote now?
You let them go.
Well, let's have a vote first.
Vote first and then out.
Okay.
Could you please read it out as you've...
Okay, so Crystal's motion was go ahead and change the sample port at the reservoir at an estimated cost of 4,500 plus installation and labor.
Yeah, that's enough.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Crystal, seconded by Craig. I don't think there's any further discussion. All those in favor, please indicate by raising your hands. That's carried and so ordered. Adam, that's carried, and we're going to move forward with that suggestion.
Okay. Wonderful. That's everything I have for everybody tonight, I believe, unless there's any other questions.
Yeah, Adam, just a comment on sure. For myself and behalf of the board. Thank you for really stepping up this last while. There's been a lot of issues that have unexpectedly come up, and you've really been made yourself available and come and handled them within the water district, and thank you for that.
Yeah. Here,
I'll second that.
Yeah. I'll see thanks, guys.
Adam. Nice to have you on board, Adam.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Have a good night. Take care of those four kids.
Good luck with that.
That's good. So that's that. So the recommendation then before us is that the May 2026 Water Operators Report.
We did that.
Yeah, we did.
We've done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
We did recognize. Okay. Yeah. And he spoke.
George's trip.
George, thanks for being patient. I think you're up. So the recommendation is that the May 2026 Fire Chief's Report be received for information. Could I have a mover of that motion? Thank you, Alyssa. Thank you for seconding it, Diane.
Move along.
Seeing no hands for discussion, we'll call for the question. Although unanimously carried. George, would you like to speak on anything?
Yes, I would.
Thank you. Go ahead. You have the floor.
One of my members today went up and purchased our new trailer for the SPU. And that's something that comes from the RDN Grant, I believe. The price on it is before taxes $15,903. And we're working on getting signage put on it as well. So we'll have to be able to keep it under the 20,000 like we are getting from the RDN. And I'll give this to Janine. She can look after it.
Thank you, Ethan.
Yeah.
Craig, please.
What happens to the old trailer?
The old trailer, the this fire escape will be going into the old trailer.
Oh, okay.
And that'll free up that space. And it allows to put some tools in with the fire escape as well. Some hand tools. Great shovels, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions to the chief? Anybody? So, the motion before us, the recommendation, fire chief's report to be received for information, May 2026. Mover of that motion,
yes.
Did we have it?
We did.
Yes. Alyssa and Diane, good.
Yeah.
Any further discussion?
I have one more thing.
Please.
That I would like to add is that I am doing up a proposal to replace our hydraulic automatic tools. And I once I get it done, I'll get it to the next meeting, but I'm hoping to get it out to you before then. And we can look at the numbers and see how it's going to work out. Previously, we had $54,000, I believe, in last year's budget for AutoX tools. And I think I've come up with a solution to switch to battery operated and come in under the $50,000 or under the $54,000 that was in last year's budget. But I think I have to have authorization to move that money back into this year's budget and spend it.
We'll handle the technicalities of that in the report, so we don't need to get into that part right now. That's more just heads up that that's what's coming.
Okay.
And George, thank you for meeting with me on the budget. That was a good meeting, gave me a better understanding of just some of the items within your budget. So I appreciated that.
Trying to spend some time to go over the capital budget with you.
Yeah, and then once we finish that in the capital, we'll be coming back to the board and or fire committee meeting. So we're trying to do stuff at a staff level first.
Thank you.
Yes, we didn't.
So we're moving on to financial reports.
Sure.
Everyone can see what total checks for water, total checks for fire. Recommendation that the May check registers be received for information. Could I have someone move that motion? Crystal, thank you, and a seconder. Alyssa, thank you. Any discussion? Seeing no hands, we'll call for the question. All those in favor of the recommendation, the May check registers be received for information, indicate please by raising your hands. Thank you. Carried and so ordered. Administrator's report. Do you want to read it first, and then we...
Very, very briefly, I'll cover the topics, if that's okay.
I would love... it's a great new item that you're doing, Ron, so you take your time.
Well, the meeting is going late here, so I don't want to take up too much time.
Look at the money we're making.
What's in the report is we detail what happened at the RDN meeting. That confirmed that we did get the grant for $103,587. Even though we haven't officially received anything from them, I just went in to look at their minutes and found on their website that resolution and the motion had passed. So I just posted it on there. I spoke on the report that the flushing was completed. Adam spoke to that. I go over a water leak issue. Adam has spoke to that. There's no point in going over any other item in there except on the leaks, except to say this leak is an indication that waterline replacement is going to cost a lot more money in the archaeological area. And we're going to have to look at that as a guesstimate in terms of the costing of the water lines down there. I mean, there's something like a doubling of the rate. I'm not sure yet, but it'll be just be something simple like that to acknowledge that based on existing government regulation, we know it's going to cost a lot more than what we've budgeted. So that's just in the archaeological area that I'm referring to. We comment on miscellaneous regular tasks. And then there's a new item, a nice one here, need to be completed projects. And I wasn't going to go over that right now because of time, but there's a list of items that are in there. And when the board gets some time, I would appreciate some feedback on some items that we've missed or I've missed that aren't on that list that we need to have on our radar that need to be completed over the next 6 months or whatever the period is. Some of these things will take longer than 6 months. For example, asset management, that's something that is just an ongoing process like the budget. So you never really get finished, because as soon as you think you're finished, you're starting on the next year. So that concludes my report.
Thank you, John. Diane, please.
Just curious as to how many properties you have a potential tax sale for.
Is that three or five?
Five. Is that new for us?
New for, what do you mean new?
Well, I've been on the board for 4 years. Oh, there's never been anywhere close to being a tax sale. So that's why I'm curious. Like, right. Is that something that is a new thing that's come up in the area that people...
It has almost happened before, like in years ago, but then
years ago
come up with the money. So yeah, yep. So it has. So it's anything 2 years and older, right? So
yeah, the third year. Yeah. Delinquent taxes. Yeah. So they've been sent their delinquent tax thing.
It's not the same process as as we follow for municipalities, mm-hmm. but there's no reason not to do what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of things haven't been being done, but usually you can get on the phone, write a mm-hmm. letter, get collection. Mm-hmm. Janine has already done that. Now I'm going to go in more as the enforcement person with a little stronger tone, because it's not discretionary. Yeah. We're doing it. They're either paying it or we're doing it because it's the law.
Right.
Yep. And I'll be explaining that to people, and I would expect that most, if probably all of them, will end up paying. But what I'm trying to do in my position here now is be more transparent of the type of tasks that we're doing.
Right.
Therefore, it's on us.
Do we still have the mandate to advertise publicly the properties?
It's different.
It's different.
Yeah.
So we don't have that mandate.
I'm not sure on all the regulations offhand, but it's
okay.
different.
Okay.
I looked at that. That's why.
Because usually that's what gets people going.
Yeah. They don't want their neighbors to see it.
That's right.
We'll post it on the website, the address. Yeah, but we try and avoid that. I tell people that. Mm-hmm. So that could be our approach. We're going to say, look, if you want to avoid that, it's not a threat. This is happening.
Mm-hmm.
What is the tax sale, like the definition?
Well, when you're 3 years behind in your taxes.
The fire call, like this.
The fire, that's correct. Okay. The fire and water tax.
Yeah.
Not user
the parcel fees. Tax.
The parcel yes. tax. Okay. So REM would be completely separate.
Theirs goes to the province.
Yeah.
Yes.
They would deal with that. It's just dealing with this one.
Correct. And they'd have a tax sale issue. That's an interesting thought.
Well, they
we
don't.
Sell the property and then sell it at the same
that's
time?
Right. They have the province doesn't hold tax sales. So the okay. regional district goes towards the province. The province does not hold tax
not
sale.
That.
Only municipalities hold tax sale. But they have the ability to take your property in a different way.
So if you're 3 years in arrears, in that third year, the property can be taken.
It's sold at tax sale. Basically, you sell it, you have an auction, and
okay.
it's basically sold. Somebody can buy it for the back taxes. Generally, unless the rules are different for what John is saying, you have a year as the owner of the property to pay that fee and the interest and get your property back.
Okay.
So it's a long drawn out process. And I'm not saying that that's the exact same as what DBID has to do. That's been my experience and John's experience
yeah.
as being collectors.
Okay.
But the reality is, they'll mostly only have to pay their 3 years of taxes plus some administration fees.
Yeah.
So say there was even a bid that sold for 100 grand and the taxes were 10 grand and there was 90 grand extra, that 90 would be held in abeyance.
Mm-hmm.
The property owner would really just have to repay the 10 grand.
Yeah.
No one is going to get a property at tax sale. No one's going to give it up unless someone has an unsound mind.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
someone of sound mind just won't do that. And I have had that a couple times in my career.
Yeah.
And I've done my very best to get the Ministry of Health involved and pay the taxes. And that's what ended up happening. Because we don't want to see someone
yeah.
who can't look after themselves lose their property. I'm not saying it's going to get that, but if we had to, we're going to take every measure to try and help a homeowner in that case.
And quite frankly, if they're not paying us, they possibly have paid the regional district
yeah,
taxes, and maybe it's just a protest.
That's what I was curious about.
To us. That's a definite possibility, and we wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
The other thing that's different with us than municipalities is in with the municipality, if you're behind on your water bill, water, sewer, garbage, that unpaid amount can get added to taxes.
Yeah.
We can't do that here.
Okay.
We can shut water off. That's we don't bill for sewer or garbage here. We can shut the water off, but we can't add that payment to taxes. So our stick on water is to shut it off.
Have
and the stick on taxes is to sell the property.
Have we ever shut off water to a property?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, what happens there is the board ends up having to give us authorization.
What is the time frame for water shut off? There's the same 3 years?
Yeah. No. See, actually, that's interesting. The bylaw used to be 6 months,
which was two bills. Now it has to be changed because two bills was longer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there's leniency on that one too.
Yeah.
But I believe it's either this year's audit or last year's audit. They even made a comment on that, that we need to be a little bit more on top of our enforcement on the delinquent type people. So that's part of why we're doing what we're doing.
Okay.
We need to.
Been too nice.
Now we have a little
let down.
No, has to do with
this. Yeah, so we're just trying to let the public know, let the board know what we're working on, and that's what that is.
Are these properties, are they all occupied properties? Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
I got some good stories on this one, but that's for another day. I've been sued on this.
Yeah.
And I didn't even work for the municipality and I got sued.
For a tax.
Well, it happened before I worked there.
Yeah.
It took 7 years to solve it in the courts.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Anyways.
I've also got some stories, but that's also for another day.
I'll move the motion that the June 20, 2026 administrator's report may receive for information. If I have a seconder. Frank, Alyssa, Crystal, Diane, everyone gets their name down. All those in favor, please indicate by raising. Carrying so ordered. Thank you very much. We move on to, I believe, bylaws. I see none, resolutions none, down. And finally, at new business, are we not? We, or do we have to do
it? Okay, right.
We're at
trustee elections.
Elections.
Yeah, new business. Trustee elections.
Trustee elections. John, please.
Okay, so we've written a staff report on elections, and we've come up with a date of November 21st. The reason for that date is we were working it out in relation to the pipeline and the water bill going out in October. If for some reason the board doesn't like that date, even though the policy says that I set the date as the administrator, but you know, I work for the board. So if I have input that this is kind of crazy to have it this late in the year or whatever the feedback is, we can look at an earlier date, but then you just have to have a separate mail out. I don't mind the November date. I don't like it around summer because people are away. And then this is before most people are going away in the winter, although some definitely go earlier than that. So we're not in the winter yet. So I kind of thought this works. But if the board thinks differently and you want to have it a month earlier or something like that, then we can do that.
I like it. That's all I'll say.
So if the board's in agreement,
cohesive mass together just a little bit longer.
If the board's in agreement, then I'm asking that by policy that I be appointed as a returning officer, that the admin assistant, Janine, be appointed as deputy returning officer. The policy doesn't speak to deputy returning officer.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
But I just think it's good to have one in case something happens to the returning officer and they can't make it at the election or whatever.
Yeah,
you have
absolutely.
Someone that's got the power. So that's why I added her
as
deputy. And then that the administrator is authorized to carry out required tasks to plan for a November 21st. 2026 election. There are three positions up for election. Craig, Crystal's, and Suzanne, who's departed the board. Those are the three, and they're 3-year terms. Thank you.
Discussion? Anyone have any discussion? Everyone all right with that date? And I will call for the question. All those in favor of the motion, I would say that the administrator be authorized to. Oops.
Was there a mo? Did
no.
Make a motion?
There's no, we haven't had a motion yet.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Oh, go ahead. You go ahead.
I'll second it. Yeah.
Okay.
There's still one there.
Okay.
Alyssa.
You want to read over that? You can just make it up as you go. Yes. That yeah, the administrator appointed.
It's pretty much
what pretty much working off there.
Yeah.
Convoluted.
As written.
I think, yeah, the motion should be as written 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Yes. And then Crystal and Alyssa seconded it. I'm sure all those in favor, please indicate that's carried and so ordered. Thank you, everyone. June number two, Island Health Water System Inspection Report.
Okay, on this one.
Yeah, that's pretty tense. I've read that a few times.
Yeah, I and no doubt the board noticed that I made a mistake on the recommendation. Item number two should say May 21st, 2023, not 2026. And then on page 47, on near the bottom, it says highlights identified by VHA in the 2026 VHA water inspection report. That should say 2023. You want me to speak to this report?
Yes, if you do. Yes, please.
Okay, so we had the inspection. We referenced it earlier in the meeting that VHA was here. We got a clean report this year. The report identifies DBID's water system with a hazard rating of low. There were no critical hazard or sanitation or maintenance violations in the 2026 report. This is in contrast to the 2023 VHA inspection report. In that report, it had a hazard rating of moderate. Again, 2026 was low, 2023 was moderate. And the 2023 report had a critical hazard violation relating to the operation and maintenance of the reservoir. And there's a sanitation and maintenance violation as well, for there not being a drought component in the emergency response plan. To me, what's important in these two reports is 2026, it was clean, and we got a good report in terms of the reservoir, and that was not the case in 2023. So we're getting a lot of flack on the reservoir recently, but we're not getting flack from VHA on it. They're saying that we've improved what was done in 2026 versus 2023. And I think we really don't need to say any more on the reservoir other than that. We take our marching orders from VHA, and what I've seen, Adam's doing an excellent job communicating with VHA when there's questions, when there's concerns, and we will continue to keep VHA in the loop. There's not going to be any worries about the concept of alerting VHA to some concerns or something like that. We are very direct and upfront with VHA, and we will continue to be that. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Very good news, ladies and gentlemen. All things considered.
Through the chair?
Yes, please.
I just wanted to say I was really relieved to see the 2026 report and just felt great that all the work that staff and the trustees and our water operators have done to improve the system is paying off.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. I wonder what it is.
I think that's excellent to say the board's book. Because the hands-on role that the board, some board members have done to fix that reservoir. Staff, in my case, I get a bit of credit from what you said, but really it's not me. This was done by the board getting out there with on their hands and knees, hammers, shovels, whatever, doing the repairs that were needed. And it's great.
Really, it is.
We've come along. Mr.
Craig, your expertise is irreplaceable, honestly. And when I look at some of the literature I've been reading, and I was on the board before you guys came on for a while, and I didn't know. I was new, just like you. And I'm looking at the water operator's report, how it used to be delivered and what was said and what was done. It's really nice. We've got a good group. The core water has become, was a real asset. You are a huge asset. The team is good. It's a good board. I'm really, really privileged to be a part of your group. Thank you.
This all started in 2023, identified the problem for this board, but it was really being fixed, started to be fixed in 2024. I was not here. So I'm not taking credit for that. Thank you to the board.
24 was a tough year.
Yeah, well, it bared fruit.
That was a penny an hour. Anyway, I was very pleased with that. So I will happily make the motion that we've done. And did we have the motion on that? That the June 11th, 2026 Administrator's Water System Inspection Report be received for information, and that the May 21st, 2023 Island Health Drinking Water Inspection Report be received as correspondence.
Seconder. Alyssa. Any further discussion? Seeing no hands, calling for the question. Everyone in favor of the motion as read, please raise your hands. Thank you all. That's carried, so ordered. I believe that takes us to, we have discussed.
Question here.
No,
we have GW solutions.
Sorry.
The regulatory requirements dated April 2nd.
And Crystal's been working on that.
Yes.
So I did send this information to everybody some weeks ago.
Yes, you did.
So hopefully you read it. And if you haven't, you should have. I waste my time sending it otherwise. Anyway, so I contacted these people, and mostly I started off because of wells 1 and 3 about the GARP thing, calling them on the phone saying we need to look at it. Then I progressed from there saying we're looking at the aquifer. So we need to have a look at the general structure of our whole setup, all the water things. And I think a couple of years ago, VR said we would, in 2025, we should have done another report. Anyway, so I kind of glimpsed they had broken it down, because they asked them to break it down so we could get them to just look at wells 1 and 3 for start, because if we need to do something with them, I need to get something going there, put the doors in or whatever we need to do. So, because that's been on hold. I keep talking to the Toby about organizing it. And then he goes, what the hell's going on? I go, I don't know. Anyway, that's kind of where I went. And then, of course, the whole quote is $70,000. But the amount of money we spend on all sorts of other ridiculous things, sorry, but.
No, we are.
You know, for our whole water system, and they will look at the whole thing. And I'm going to get back to Bowser again, because it's going to be up to John to send this to Bowser and say, you guys need to be part of this. So it's just not on us, because it's the aquifer, et cetera, that also needs to be looked at. They will look at our water system and how we operate it and what we do and the statistics. To be quite honest, we've got the SCADA system, and we can retrieve a lot of information from that. Adam doesn't really know how to retrieve the information. I mean, it's fairly complex. That's how we discovered that there was an issue at well number 8, because I said to Adam, I want some of this information. And while we were looking at it, he noticed that it wasn't showing the depth of the well. And that's how we found out that that thing wasn't working. And White Pacific at the time, when I was at the well too, I said to them, how come you don't have an alarm on this? So when there's something wrong, it tells us, you know, we shouldn't be looking anyway. They said they could do that. So I forgot to ask Adam if they are going to do that. So he said it should be alarm. If there's any issue with something not working, it needs to flag something. Anyway, so back to the report. So they have broken it down. We could just pick and choose what we want to do. Although at this stage, I think we should just okay the whole figure, and then we can say to them, I call them, say, just come and have a tour, do well 1 and 3 for starters. I mean, I don't know how, unless you want to break it down, but it just gets complicated then.
So well, that's, the goal is to see if we can get those wells back.
Yes.
For our use.
Yes.
That's this is going to do. It's going to do another GARP one.
I want them to review those GARP requirements. So when Beha was here, they were just leaving, and I said, no, 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 get out your car. I stopped them. They came back, and I said, come on to well 1. I need to talk to you about it. So we had this discussion, and one of the women, I forget which one, said, I said, there's an issue with it. She says, yes, I've read it. I know there's minor things. She said, you could actually just, that well, you may be able to get away with just the UV system. And I said, oh, what would that cost? I don't know, $3,000 or $4,000, she said. I said, Well, you see, that's things we don't know. I mean, we don't know what needs to be done to get rid of those organisms or whatever's in the well. So that's where I'm going with this. So these guys will look at that and see if, because the carp things were minor,
mm-hmm.
you know, like distance below the ground. Well, you, they all decided that distance was the borderline. Anyway, I'm just saying.
I think regulations changed, and now those wells don't comply with, like, depth-wise,
right,
okay. with new regulation.
And originally what flagged that was that the septic field was too close, but that's been moved, so they okay, crossed that off the list, but there were just a few other things. Well, number three is in a swamp. Well, what if it's in a swamp, and you fill around it to mitigate that? Is it still a swamp? I mean, you know, I don't know. Right?
I walked in there in the winter. I'm not weed through water.
Yeah, so
it's absurd why they call it a swamp.
Yeah. Yeah.
They said around the, when they drill a well now, they put a bentonite clay down the side of the pipe, which expands. So it means any surface water can't run down beside the pipe into your well. Well, these don't have that, but they've got a concrete slab around it. So that mitigates the bentonite thing. So why these guys write these reports and put that in the report? Anyway, I'm just saying those, those are some of these issues, you know. So my feeling is we need to get this looked at, and we need them to look at our whole system and figure out what's going with aquifer. And they can look at all the wells. The wells have all these information you get from the SCADA to say what's going on over the period and write a report about all those things.
It makes sense, Christo. It's never been done. Water is the number one issue of the district. Let's be frank. That's what we hear about all the time. How's our water? Well, we need to maintain it. And it hasn't been maintained in the past, per se, as in maintained as in these kind of things investigated.
I'll just also add that they were doing this research on the swamp. And the woman I contacted before, when I contacted, she says, I'm not longer with it's the organization. I emailed them a couple of times. They finally got back to me and said, they got all the statistics. They have to catalog it all and then give it to RDN. And then maybe the RDN will give me the information, or that maybe they'll allow them to give me the information. Don't matter. I've got an email with the RDN. I can get the information. But that's just stupid. What are we drinking?
It should be public information.
Exactly. Anyway.
Well, go to the RDN and we could, under Freedom of Information, ask for that. But it won't be necessary because
it's a stupid comment as far as I'm concerned. I mean, more critical. Anyway, they did say, what they said was that it seems like the aquifer surfaces at the swamp. That does mean that water in the swamp is really critical to our aquifer. This is just a brief thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they I think it was like 6 months they did research. There three or four observation wells and things up there with level loggers and that type of thing. So it'd be really interesting to see what they came up with. I think they did one about 3 or 4 years ago, too, but I couldn't find that information. So anyway, that's just the general type of thing that this organization could look at. I mean, I don't know all the stuff on. I can only read it, but I mean, I can't put it all together and figure it out. So we do need somebody there professionally to be able to put it together. So just backtracking, but so GWS Solutions was hired by the guys in Deep Bay, Bain Sound Investments. They hired these guys to do a report when they wanted to put 3,000 homes in there, whatever the hell it was. When I was looking through all the records, I couldn't find it. And I said to John, so John found this report of theirs because it had been mentioned, but it wasn't on the website. Anyway, John found it, said we had a lot of really good information in it. The board at the time had the wherewithal to hire a consultant in Vancouver to review their report. So they actually criticized quite a few things, which I thought was great, you know, about their procedures or what they were extrapolating this from that. Sometimes they just use these web programs anyway. So I thought, one of the three, I'll contact the guy who criticized them. But they're in Vancouver. So I thought, what the hell? So then I looked these guys up and, of course, new people running the business. So I thought, they've already written that previous report, which is quite detailed. if we use them, they already have all that information. Might make it easier. So that's how I ended up with these guys. Anyway, that's a bit of a stream.
And these guys are the same, but new owners? Same sort of GW solutions?
Yes,
the same name, but different ownership, different people working.
And having said that, the RBN also used these guys.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's just so you know how I ended up with these people.
So, just a question. You mentioned about doing it all. If we were going to do just a portion, like you mentioned, wells 1 and 3, for instance, just a portion, is there an advantage to just piecing off a section of it to make sure we're happy with the relationship with this company and how it works?
Yes. I mean, if you say, go ahead, we still don't have to be committed to the whole figure. They've broken it down. So to do these wells looks like about $7,000.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's what we should do.
Oh, no. And the same thing. I said to the woman, firstly, you have to come up here and have a meeting with us. We'll take you on a tour of the system. And then we'll talk about things before we even delve into anything.
She was conducive to that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then we get a feel for them, too, right? And then they get an overall idea instead of just reading something on
paper. That's a great.
So, we could just do the first stage, which is roughly about $7,000. And that just relates to wells 1 and 3 and some of that stuff.
Luke, you're talking what, tasks 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Yes, task 1, 2, 3, and 4. Just to get it ticked off. Yeah, that's a good thought, John. Then we see how we respond, or they respond more.
Well, I think it's an on-site inspection, walk around like we did with Stacy and the other Amanda.
If I could ask another question now, Crystal. So task 5 and 6, that's kind of where you would look at sort of the Bowser relationship, because we're talking about the whole district, not just us and 5 and 6. Yep. So on that particular items, maybe some other ones, but 5 and 6 for sure, it might be beneficial to have a board motion to say authorize you and I to meet with representatives from the Bowser Water District to discuss jointly reviewing some water issues.
Good thought, John.
Sure.
Yeah, that's great. Yep.
That's a good thought.
I did mention to them when I was talking to them on the phone that it'd be nice to include Bowser as part of the overall water usage thing. So then they can also look at the Bowser system, which has not much information. There's no engineers reports.
Yeah, well, we can start it with a meeting. I'm not saying it'll work, but that's what we could start.
Well, they definitely need to, step up to the plate as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can do that.
Okay, sure.
So then what are we looking for here then? What you're suggesting is approval to proceed with task 1 to 4?
At this point, sure. Yeah.
And then maybe we'll have another motion to offer you and I.
To go further.
No, we'll come back and report on that.
Okay.
Do we need to start with a motion that board trustees, Crystal and myself, I'd like to be involved, meet with the first line of business to meet with them before we make these decisions? Or should that be encompassed in the motion that subsequent to meeting with these respective people, we may be moving forward with task 1, 2, 3, 4. To follow me, should we meet? Do we need to meet first before?
Well, I think you need just okay it, and then we can still meet them. I mean,
but 1 to 4 doesn't affect them, is what we're saying.
Pardon?
Do you feel 1 to 4 affects Bowser?
No,
I wasn't talking about meeting with Bowser. You're talking about meeting with
GWS.
I thought you meant meeting with Bowser.
No, not with Bowser. And please.
Task 8A, it says initial meeting.
they would have a meeting. It's only about 3/4 of an hour.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
More than 3/4 an hour, but anyway.
And then, yeah, but then they've got site visit for 2A. Like they've got.
They've broken it down as best they think, you know, but I mean, that's flexible too.
Right.
I don't think that's intended as the first meeting, all, even though they used the word initial.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that right might be the project management and communications initial meeting.
Yeah, because it's project management and communications, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's the first one.
And then results, I think that's sort of almost like after, that's just kind of a guideline that we'll have an initial meeting.
But if we get approval to do one before,
to kick it off.
We'll talk with them. If there's something we're missing, we'll come back to the board. We'll come back to the board anyways. But I think Crystal's just looking for something to get started, assuming the board agrees with that.
I've never been clear as who said we couldn't use those two wells. It seemed like it was that previous output, and BHA said, well, they said so, then it must be, that's it. BHA didn't seem to be the ones that said no. So ultimately, in the end, this company's hired to review everything, take their samples, do all their stuff. Are they going to say to us, we're recommending to BHA that these wells with either UV or don't need UV can come back into production when we want to use them? Based on the water operator flushes them before they use them or whatever, stuff like that. Or are they going to come back and say, no, there's too much risk and we're saying you can't.
Okay, so I should backtrack too. So when I spoke on the phone, I sent her all the emails of all those reports that she didn't have.
Yeah.
So she read through them and called me back and said, and I said, the reason I'm calling you is because we want to use these wells and you need to look and see why or what we can do to mitigate them. And that's kind of how it went. So they have read the report.
So they have that in mind. And I would suggest that if there's an initial meeting, regardless of what the paperwork, you, me, and Craig, and whoever's involved, say we're walking doing a site like we did with BHA people, that would be a question that would be pertinent. Craig, is when this is all said and done, if we hire you and we spend all the money, are you in the position to make recommendations of us being able to utilize these wells? And if so,
yes,
does your recommendation carry any weight? Or does a government agency just get the opportunity to go, no, too bad, so sad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's, I'm with you on that. We need to establish if we're...
Then, my understanding, BHA, even on the field tour, said, we never said you couldn't use
No, they did.
They did.
Yes, no, you read the older reports. I mean, Suzanne and I spent a lot of time going through the whole GARP thing, writing letter to VR saying this is a minor thing, we could do this, we could, and they just turned around and said,
turn it down?
VR just said, read the BC water regulations. Yeah, Jesus, it's not what I ask you. So they are just totally useless, to be quite honest.
On that aspect.
And they cannot make those decisions. They don't want to take any responsibility. If somebody like this says, do this, they're gonna fine.
Okay.
You know? I mean, that's where I'm going with it. Or what? Otherwise, we have to abandon the wells.
I'm unclear. You're suggesting that VHA does not have the power to say yes or no.
I don't know about the power. They are not going to take the responsibility.
Okay,
and they probably don't have the technical expertise.
Okay, fair enough.
Like the reservoir assessment, a structural engineer or environmental engineer has to come in and do their job and monitor, and then they give us the report. Then we use that as information for VHA. Same here. We get a professional in this area. They're saying these wells are good. This is what we have. This is what we have to do. Chances are, what we're saying is that likely would be enough to get it. But VHA is not going to come and say you use them without a professional.
Precise. Okay.
Like I recall with Don Buckner, he was really disappointed with that consultant's report. He thought that he would get the recommendation that we could proceed. Like with VHA, and we just didn't get the consultant to take that end of it and say, yes, it's good.
consultant didn't do that.
I called the consultant originally, Simon Wing from Linnell-Wiss. And I said to him, hey, you've written this report. Could you come back and review it? And I said, these are minor things. No, not interested. So I tried that avenue first because he wrote the report.
So how did he get involved initially? Because that well's run for 25 years or longer with the septic field where it used to be, and it wasn't an issue.
I don't know. It must have been a review at some point.
Okay. I just wonder how the Simon guy got involved and said, oh, we can't use that well because of this and that.
Right.
But you called him.
The board needs to be clear that there's not a guarantee that we're going to get approval. This is just what we feel is a good angle that gives us the opportunity to get the information that could allow us to present to VHA and then use those well.
Yes.
But if it comes back negative, well, then that's probably...
Yeah, so if it comes back negative, well, then we got to disband the wells or what it's going to do.
We'll cut the power off. We're not paying a hydro bill every month on them, and we don't have to waste the money making it not a confined space.
Could we ask? We asked how long can the well sit before you have to abandon it all? So it was some a year or something they said, I forget now.
I don't know, but we were planning on, in the event of an emergency and with chlorination, we could use that water. So we do need to be careful with what we say here. And I'm not aware of all the intricacies. I'm just going on some memory aspects here. We need to look at it in terms of what we can do with that well and really with our whole water system. These things come up for review periodically. It can't always be the way it was 25 years ago, as we know.
Oh, and even these guys get better every year at assessing things and reviewing things. And anyway.
Well, I'd say let's get them in and get this rolling. See what they can meet with us and give us that gist of that we do this study for you, there'll be a recommendation with teeth.
It's just more money. That's the thing that everyone asks me. If we're talking $7,000, it's a little over $100 a rate there. So that's the negative of this. Crystal and I happen to agree with them, think that it could be money well spent. But the word there is could be. Time will tell.
Right.
So there needs to be a motion.
To make a motion, go ahead with GWS Solutions quote. Tasks 1, 2, 3, and 4 to proceed with looking at wells 1 and 3, possibility of bringing them back online.
Do we need to mention in their preliminary meeting, like a meeting?
Well, that doesn't matter. I can call them, they come and look. I mean, as I said, they read the information. She was good about looking stuff up, and I said, here's all the information, just read it. So she read it all before she made the proposal, obviously. Oh, it's obvious, but.
So those four items added up to $7,270, if my math was correct. But they do state in there that it's based on actual time.
Yeah.
So it could vary slightly. So my opinion would be to. Were to make a recommendation at the approximate cost of $8,000. Just round up a little bit. That's a
good idea.
Then even within the 8, then that still covers GST too. I'll be able to get the GST
back. All right.
Second.
Second, Greg.
I read your book.
Then you please, if you have.
Okay, I think I got. Okay, so. So that the board authorized GSW Solutions to proceed with tasks 1, 2, 3, and 4 as written on their April 22nd, 26th cost estimate proposal and proceed with looking at wells 1 and 3 in preparation to bringing them back online.
John was saying, did you put a budget? Did you say we were going to put a budget in that too?
It's up to the board.
Up to $8,000?
Approximately.
Approximately.
Okay, up to $8,000.
But I the more I think of it, I don't mind it not being on there. Maybe it's better because then there's no dollar amount. We just send that to them. It's the board approved this, and it's just this 1 to 4 the date, the lower dollar amounts. I'd start with that. Really, I guess what I'm saying is if it's going to be over 8,000, we're going to be coming back to the board.
So
we can be silent.
Doesn't have to be in there.
I don't think so. What do you think, Diane, on that? Should we put it in mouth?
You're saying the tasks are there, so it's already listed as to what the dollar values are.
Yeah, we don't need that. So.
If they come back and they double it, then of course we're going to get a notification from John that says, hey, by the way.
Well, we're all scared of things like this because prices keep going up. But it's just a couple of months ago.
Comfortable with it, the motion? We don't need it right again? Did we vote?
No.
Not yet, folks. Waiting for your polls.
We get tired.
Yeah.
Call for the question. Any further discussion? It is a good idea that we move forward with these wells.
I'm going for so long, you're going to be something that
we're and with our whole issue that we've met with Jason with respect to the confined space and all those, it's a lot of potential money.
Well, and we're relying on 4 wells. Those pumps in there and motors, they're not spring chickens. They've been in there a long time.
And of course, this was more important before we got the new well, when the new generator goes in, relying on this one. Yeah. And that's the critical part.
One of our 5, 6, or 8 go down, that's a big chunk of water loss.
Absolutely.
At a time of year like this, I mean, those 2 other wells would be just cats me out to put back online.
Yeah.
Because you got to get a rig outfit in, they have to. I don't know if they keep 3-phase 15 horse pumps and motors in stock. So, yeah.
Well, if this was successful and we got approval for the dollar amounts that we're talking about in this report, that's a lot less money than what you're now talking about. We had to go re-drill other areas.
Well, not re-drill, but I'm thinking in the summer when water demand's high, we use 5, 6, or 8. That's a big chunk, and the other 2 wells are going to keep up. Now you put these smaller wells on, then those 2 will pick up for 1.
Yeah.
You say that those pumps have been there a long time. They don't last forever.
Yeah, at some point something's going to happen, that's for sure. Yeah.
All those in favor of the motion, comfortable with it? Very good. So ordered then. Thank you very much. Good work, everyone. No, Adam did White Pacific and Coral, or did we not? Are we not done?
Yeah.
Question period.
Are we asking any questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're open for question period. Thank you very much.
Please keep them brief.
Motion to adjourn.
I just need to go over a couple of things with Janine.
Okay.
Motion
to adjourn to close session. Okay.
Seconded by Crystal. Motion to adjourn by Diane. Seconded by him. Motion to adjourn doesn't need a second.